Welcome to the Blank Canvas, the show where we talk about visual culture and the creative community. I am Michael Edwards, standing in for your host, Amanda Colson, who is the director of the National Art Gallery, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget to take us with you when you're on the road or traveling. You can stream us at www.guardiantalkradio.com. You can also download the Guardian Radio app from your favorite app store. This evening we have in studio with us Mariah Lightbourne, Ashley McLean, Ida Thompson, and Dr. Ian Bethel Bennett, who is the associate professor in the School of English. And we are discussing Double Dutch Exhibition, the exhibition going on right now at the National Art Gallery. This is the seventh iteration, and the title of the show is Hot Water. It opened on August 23rd. That addresses environmental and sustainable issues, and the project took the group to Ragged Island, and this was a collaboration between Expo 2020, students from the University of the Bahamas, and Plastico Fantastico. And so this is a pretty exciting project that took the group down to Ragged Island, looking at the built environment, sustainability issues. And so we wanted to have them back in studio this evening to talk about this most exciting project, Hot Water. And so good evening, guys.
Good evening.
I know, we've had some conversation about this project and it's been ongoing, but we wanted to have you back in to really discuss the excitement that's been happening around Hot Water and specifically Ragged Island. And so let's just jump right into it. So tell us, Dr. Ian Bethel Bennett, let's begin with you. Talk to us about Expo 2020, just to kind of give some kind of context, a broad overview.
Well, Expo 2020 is the most recent iteration of the World's Fair that it happens every 5 years in the showcase for innovation and technological advancement, like Chicago in, I can't remember years. And we're looking at how we develop. So the idea is that we are creating minds connecting to connect to the future. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at sustainability, mobility, and opportunity. And this project, the Ragged Island project, comes right out of that because it's trying to figure out how we not only mitigate against, but how we create in realities where waters are rising, climates are changing, and the way people build has to change in order to face that impending geographical and that shifting sands, so to speak.
Okay.
So the undertitle of the work, Sand and Salt, that we are also working on, kind of looks at that, the whole naturalness and the blue-green economy and how this can work together with innovation to create spaces for Bahamians to really be participants in their own democracy and in their lives.
So why Ragged Island?
Well, Ragged Island...
What's so special about Ragged Island?
It's big enough to matter and it's small enough to wrap your arms around. So it has a lot of people very committed to their lives and committed to the place that they see as their home. And outside of the discourse that says, oh, we should just abandon it, it speaks to the opportunity, again, opportunity, and the challenges that climate change bring to us. You know, the fact that there are more hurricanes, the fact that the hurricanes will be worse. This year, it's interesting that we really haven't had a lot of activity, but they're thinking that...
Not yet.
Right. But they're thinking that the hurricanes that do form will actually be worse than the scale we have now. Mm. So Ragged Island gives us the opportunity to not just think about how we deal with hurricanes and sea level rise, but how we keep a part of Bahamian culture that is quickly disappearing.
Right.
And it's exciting because you actually have a group of residents who are engaged in the process, who are open to and happy with the discussion, who want to see things happen because they're really involved in their island communities' development.
And so the UB team kind of emerges out of Expo 2020. So we have, of course, three of them here. So Ashley, how, if we had to talk about the beginnings of the project, talk to us a bit about how you embarked on kind of gathering information initially, and then we can get into some other stuff.
Okay, so how we gathered information, we tried to be as authentic as possible, was we got information directly from the residents and descendants of Ragged Island. And so it can't get any more real than that. They're telling you stories, and we interviewed them individually at different times, you know, accommodating when they can. And they're all giving you the same information, so you really can't make it up. Everybody is talking about how big of a part salt played in them growing up, the salt ponds, the games that they played, such as sparring, swimming a lot, just they're one with the island, you know. I guess in Nassau, to like compare it, we're used to maybe more technological stuff, more city stuff, but in the island they are really, really, really one with the environment. Okay, what else? Yeah, so we just it can't get any more real or as authentic as that. We interviewed everybody individually, and they all gave us mostly the same story.
So these are residents of Ragged Island that have transition to New Providence. This is New Providence, descendants of Ragged Island.
Some of them.
Okay.
Because some of them just come over, they have business to do in Nassau, then they return home. And also a lot of them have told us that many men have stayed, but because there are no schools or, for schools for children to go to, the mothers and the children, they come to Nassau while the men stay there, trying to piece things together.
Okay. Ide, yeah. Mariah?
Yeah, well, to go back talking about how we tried to authenticate the research for the project, we actually went to the National Archives of the Bahamas, and we did research on Ragged Island. We got sources looking at how Ragged Island has been portrayed in history, looking at actual books talking about the salt industry, sisal, giving maps of the island itself, the community, how it started from the colonial times, who came and set it up, the families and their names. Also looking at colonial documents from the local government there, how the community changed over time, because the archive actually has documents from the early 19th century, looking at, you know, seeing the daily, day-to-day, year-to-year progression of the community. So, and one excerpt from it says that the entire Dubmere population was in one way or another engaged in seagoing activities. You can see the colonial perspective. The government perspective on the island was that it was a very, you know, self-sustaining community, that they were able to feed themselves.
Give us a timeline. When you say self-sustaining, the 40s, 50s, maybe pre-1900?
Yeah, I would say from like, it went from like the 1800s to like, you know, the early 20th century.
Okay.
Yeah, Granite was a community that could support itself.
Right.
It had a population, you know, when we went there on the trip, you could see there were goats on that itself. And people see that for food or for other things, and the salt pond's still in use. So you can see, even though the population has diminished and it has changed, that the island still is able to support itself in certain ways when it comes to an economy and also food.
And so similar stories like Ashley, stories that you may have gathered from residents or descendants,
right.
what kinds of stories would you have gathered?
Well,
I guess there's a lot of talk about trade, like the history of trade.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Between
Ragged Island,
Haiti,
Cuba.
And Cuba.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the different products like sisal, salt, fish, like all of that. Instead of coming up north to Nassau, they trade south.
Right.
Because
it's so funny to me that Nassauvians have this kind of attitude towards Haitians when in Ragged Island, which is a part of the Bahamas, they enjoy trade, free trade. They have no problem. They have good relationships with Haitian people. And so that is interesting. So we think that we don't like Haitians, but then we actually have activity and stuff going on with Haitians. So it's weird. It's weird.
And this came up in a lot of the interviews that were conducted,
yes,
right?
Yes, a lot.
Again, Haiti, Cuba. I think I recall you telling me a story about one of the interviewees speaking about Cuba. She was not allowed to, living on Ragged Island, she was not allowed as a young lady to go to Cuba. You were not supposed to venture to Cuba, right? That was a place where the ladies did not go.
Yeah, she said, and I quote, good girls don't go to Cuba. Her okay. words, not mine.
Okay.
But the interviews were very deeply personal to me. Like, we learned about the economy and how Ragged Island ran as a community and how they, you know, supported themselves. But then we have these stories of, like, so much joy and enjoyment of the island and the water, and stories of loss and, you know, burial practices, things like that. And Ashley even found some family during the interview.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Tell us a little. Don't you remember?
I'm getting a little old now, so you have to remind me.
Okay, so we interviewed, I don't remember her name, but we interviewed this lady.
You don't have to call her name.
Okay,
right?
We interviewed this lady, and in talking with her, like, she's mentioned family, and so started to describe one of my family members to her, and she was like, oh, yeah, that's my family, too.
Oh, yes, I do remember now,
and
I recall.
So,
okay.
In the description, yes. When she started talking to him, I started describing who my family was, she was like, oh, yes, we're definitely related. Yeah, that's my family.
And you just found that out from the interview, right?
From the interview, from just talking to her. That was the first time, you know.
And that's amazing. That's amazing.
You find out a lot by talking.
And so how many interviews are we talking about? How many interviews would have gathered to do this kind of project? Or is it finished? Is it ongoing? Is there more collecting to do?
There's definitely more collecting to do. I think we've interviewed at least 10 or at least 5.
That was here, though.
That was
those were the interviews that were conducted here.
On New Providence.
Yeah.
And then there were some interviews on Ragged Island.
Okay,
and then on the mail boat that we'll get to.
Right. That's how much I remember. Now, add that to the number. Add that to the number that you all have, whatever that is.
There's numbers to be added. How many interviews did you do, Ide?
Well, I did about 2 interviews, and other members did another, I think, 4.
Okay.
So we probably got 6 all together during the trip. So
that's 16.
Yeah. Yeah, so we actually have a lot of good data.
What's the aim? 30 interviews, 50 interviews, 100 interviews? How many interviews do you need?
I think as much as possible.
As much as possible.
Yeah, get a good cross section.
Yeah, because we're
of the Ragged Island population.
Our oral culture, culture. So we need to have a lot. Mission.
Ain't no limit.
Yeah,
ain't
exactly.
No limit.
You know,
if you want it, if you want us to interview you, come.
So any more, Dr. Bennett, how many interviews are we going after?
It depends on how many people are interested in talking.
Right.
I mean, I think another of the opportunities, will be at the conference later on this month, when we feature the Ragged Island project again, and that should be the 25th and 26th of September.
So this is a conference
in concert with the research, looking at the future of democracy in the Bahamas and how we can make democracy participatory so people can actually play a role instead of just having a representational democracy. And that makes a big difference because, as you say, then you get people to really put their stories out there and start molding their societies the way they want them to be.
And maybe we can talk a bit more about that in terms of the future of democracy, the kind of participatory process in all of this, right?
Right.
Out of the work of Expo and kind of thinking about the future. So maybe we should go to our first break and come back. So you are listening to, we have in studio, Ashley McLean, Ide Thompson, Mariah Lightborn, and Dr. Ian Bethel Bennett. We are talking about Double Dutch, the show at the National Art Gallery. Hot Water is the title, and a lot of the research that went into Hot Water, interviewing
residents and descendants of Ragged Island and the trip to Ragged Island. So we're going to talk a bit more about that. We're going to go to a break. You're tuned in to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to take our first break. We'll be right back.